Hello, and welcome to the second Louder Than Bombs podcast. I had my associates, Ryan Tremaine and Andrew Thomas Hackett, join me, and they probably will continue to join me for the rest of the, hopefully, the podcast. I might have a few solo ones, but whatever. They joined me to do our top five favorite albums of the year, and it ended up being over 2 hours long, and that is a lot. So what I decided to do was to go and cut them up in little parts so people can kind of absorb every single one of them. So they'll be about 20 minutes long, and I think that's good listenable length. What I did cut out that you'll need to know about is before we went into our top five, we kind of talked about some of the trends of the year. We talked about the whole reverb thing that's going on in a lot of these punk bands like Best Coast and Waves, and we talked about how these bands aren't bad, but the reverb is a little too much, and we all kind of agreed that it wasn't as good as people thought, but it's still not bad. Well, Andy and I thought it was okay, but Ryan wasn't really that into it, but Ryan is Ryan, and you'll learn to know that about him. So we're going to have Andy start us off with his first selection. So take it away, Andy.
Okay. The first one that I'll put on this list is Marnie Stern with her album, Marnie Stern. And I made a list earlier in the year, and this was nowhere on there. It came out like just after the summer, I think. And I started hearing about her, like this crazy math rock guitar girl that I heard some of her older stuff first, and I was like, this is cool. I have a weakness, certainly, for math rock. No doubt.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and especially when it's not too, when it's listenable is when, right, I really love it. Like, there's certain, like, Don Caballero songs that I love, and others that I'm just like, oh, get away from me. You know, depending on, to have that, the circular, just like the crazy rhythms, and but still with the melodic touch to it, you know?
Right,
for sure.
And well, so the Marnie Stern, well, go ahead.
Oh, well, I was going to say, I actually enjoyed this for the most part. One of the things that really distracted me on this album was actually not her kind of abrasive voice. I kind of liked her voice, but was actually the snare drum sounds awful on this album. Yeah. I seriously, it might be one of the worst snare drum recordings I've ever heard ever. I probably could record a better snare drum sound than that.
Well, I think it's interesting because it's super reverbed out.
That's a good point.
Yeah. It's like really, it's really like thin sounding and like has a ton of reverb on it. Whereas like the guitars on that, it isn't.
It's all dry.
Yeah, it's, I mean, there's some delay and stuff on there, but as far as, you know, it's not super reverbed out or anything.
Right. But the thing is, Andy, you told me that you compared her voice to Danielson Family. What was the other thing you said?
Danielson, well, it's like Don Caballero and Danielson combined, but a little less annoying voice.
That is probably the best description of this band I've ever heard.
And I have to say, I completely agree with you guys about the snare, and it's weird, the snare. I don't get it. But you know, and at first it like really bothered me, but the more I listened to it, I listened to this album like a lot. Like, I could easily put some other albums here, like with a few of my albums, well, specifically with this and another one on my list, I could easily put something else. I like it because it's different. It has a lot of just joy to it. It has a lot of energy. I don't know. It got me at some point. And then there's two songs that just are two of my very favorite songs of the year. And so for those two songs.
What are those two songs, Andy?
One of those is Cinco de Mayo, which is a really funny name. And the other one is called The Things You Notice. Cinco de Mayo is really joyful and awesome. It's fantastic. I'm a guitar player, and this is the kind of guitar playing that I enjoy. And then The Things You Notice is like a song with no drums. It's the last song on the album. It's so beautiful. I have to say, too, this album, I went through a certain amount of turmoil this year, and this album was very comforting to me for some reason. I can't exactly say why. And the song, The Things You Notice, there was one point on I was driving like a 9-hour drive, and I put that song on for like an hour on repeat. I couldn't off, and it touched me. So it's like a personal thing. I think this album, I haven't seen it on any list anywhere. So
Ryan, what'd you think of the album?
I mean, I hadn't heard it before. I hadn't even heard of her, and it made it really hard to find because Paul kept telling me it was Marnie Stern. I'm like, marine stern. I'm like, it's like, you know, like a boat stern. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. There's nothing out there that has to do with music in the stern of a boat. But once I figured out it was, you know, marine or Marnie, I actually probably, it'd probably be on one of my, in the top 10, I would really? Probably say. And her That's voice cool. kind of reminds me of, you know, the singer from The Sounds a little bit.
Yeah.
Like some of her more, some of the more like melodic parts and stuff kind of has like the sound of like her voice a little bit. I really like them too. So
yeah, sounds are solid. They're not bad. Well, it's funny because I listened to For Ash for like 5 seconds when I first got it. And the thing is, I can't listen to this all the time. Like anything math rock, I can listen to it like once a week and I'm good to go. Once every couple days or whatever. And her voice is a little abrasive, but like you said, the guitar work is fucking awesome. It's yeah. it's really good. And you're right, the songs you picked out are damn good songs. I really like the first song For Ash. I think that's that's a great song.
Definitely. And I've read some things. I guess like one of her like her ex-boyfriend or something had committed suicide.
Ugh.
And so like that song and a bunch of the album is like for this guy or something.
Wow.
So there's some of that, which to me the album doesn't feel that way. It's very hopeful, very yeah, hopeful totally. Sound. There, I have to say, like half there's some annoying songs on the album. I'm not gonna for sure not gonna question, you know, argue with that too.
Well, so Andy, for the two songs you wanted to put on the podcast, what songs were those again?
That's Cinco de Mayo and The Things You Notice.
Ryan, what did you love this year?
I think I will start with... I'll go with Norma Jean, because it was the first album I got. Uh-huh. And they've been one of my like favorite hardcore bands forever, since they you know put out Bless the Martyr, Kiss the Child.
That's a great album.
It is. I agree.
I've felt some of their other albums have come out after that, because they lost their lead singer after the first album.
Right.
And I was kind of like, oh, it's kind of weird, you know, and the next album I was like, I still like it, but I didn't like it quite as much. I thought Redeemer was okay, and then I thought when they did the Anti-Mother, like, it started getting better, and I mean, I honestly feel like this is kind of like the pinnacle album for them right now.
The pinnacle?
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of put everything from, like, their first album all the way through, like, together in one album.
What else about the album do you really like? Made you like it? Is it the fact that it just kind of treaded the water of hardcore metal?
Yeah, I mean it's kind of a cross between like hardcore metal, also kind of like you know sloth metal, like that whole Sludge Melvin sound.
Yeah,
you know, and it was just so heavy. Right. I just felt like you know I had a really bad day at work, and I would just like play that song for the rest of the week or the album for the rest of the week in my car.
Yeah,
just because like. I don't know, it, you know, pumped me up for the next day to go to work, and then, like, on the way home, it just, like, kind of shut it all down from work and kind of, like, go on with the rest of my day, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's funny, because I like Norma Jean, all right. I'm not a huge hardcore metal person. I still think Blessed and Martyr is their best album. This album wasn't bad, but it didn't grab me. Sometimes you can identify with an album when you're having a bad day or a good day. Certain albums with certain situations, and, you know, for me, I listen to this, and it's not bad. I just couldn't, like, get into it. It just sounded like, you know, classic Norma Jean with a different singer. So I'd go to every track and just kind of, oh, there's, the breakdown. Oh, there's the riff, and then it goes off for a little bit. And I don't know. I mean, it wasn't a bad album. It's just something I just wouldn't hardly ever listen to. Andy, what'd you think?
I'm also a fan of the Bless the Martyr album. That album has, like, everything I'm looking for when it comes to aggressive music. It's got the dissonance, it's got the chaotic rhythms, and it's got the great, you know, screamer. So this one, I thought it's, like, very solid. It's
yeah, exactly, exactly.
Yeah, right. And it's real. I almost felt like more classic metal influence than I had heard from them. Of course, it's the first album is the only one I have. So, like Ryan was saying, when the singer left, I kind of, you know. Plus, you know, I discovered Nick Cave and abandoned almost all metal music after that. I didn't need it anymore. But still, I still will listen to that Bless the Martyr album. And
oh, yeah, it's great. Like, it's awesome. Yeah.
They lost, like, the Dillinger Escape Plan thing, the real chaos, which is my favorite part of metal. But, again, it's very, like, it's good, and it sounds good. Certainly has good production.
Excellent.
It rocks, yeah. You know?
Ryan, how does this compare metal-wise to their other previous albums after Bless the Martyr?
Oh, I think the reason it feels more metal is because there's a lot more leads.
Right.
Than on their other stuff. I also think it's less mathy.
Yeah,
definitely.
You know, there is still like two or three songs I think on the album that are just like, you know, they still like are all over the place and it's pretty chaotic. But I think for the most part of the album, it's more straightforward. It's more, you know, more like classic rock kind of metal feel to it.
Right. Well, it's funny you say that because that's one of the things that I loved about Bless the Martyr was the math element. And I love that. When they go more of a metal direction, which is not really my thing, so when you lose one of my favorite element and then go into the metal element, it's like, eh.
you certainly recommend it to any... I mean, most metal people aren't really into the math side, so...
Which is weird to me, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, that's what I like about it, yeah. But anybody who loves, you know, metal, I'd be like, oh man, you gotta get that album.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
So Ryan, what two songs were you gonna listen to for this album?
First one's going to be A Media-Friendly Turn for the Worse. And I love their song titles too so much.
That's true.
And the other one's going to be, it's a little bit of a slower song, Falling from the Sky, Day 7.
So we're on the next one. It's my turn. My first album is going to be The Roots, How I Got Over. This album for me was something that I kind of wasn't expecting. I have like a couple Roots albums. I have this album by them called The Tripping Point, which is awful.
Oh, the album's so good, dude.
I don't know. Are you being sarcastic?
No, I love that album.
Oh, God, it's so bad, I think. It's so boring. And for some reason, I just really wanted to pick up the new Roots album. I just kind of... I'm going to pick this up. So I picked it up, and me and my girlfriend went on a road trip. Went over like to the ocean or something, somewhere, something like that. And
something very urban and hip-hop.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly, going to the ocean.
In Washington.
Right. We go to we're going into our destination, and we're listening to this album. But we listen to the Black Keys album after we listen to this album, and we just want to keep listening to the Roots album. It's funny because it's about switching administrations from the Bush administration to the Barack Obama administration. And I think it's an awesome title, How I Got Over. But the reason it's in my top five is, it's funny because when you think of hip-hop albums, you think of like skits, a lot of guest appearances, and it's not always consistent with itself. With The Roots, How I Got Over, they really nail every single song and make it consistent within itself. I feel they're on top of their game with the whole drums and bass, with the percussion, flows so well together, which is, you know, with hip-hop, it sometimes is chaotic in itself. I don't know if you guys agree with that, but It'd be kind of nutty, and they keep it so smooth, but yet they still keep that groove, that big bass and drum groove down, and the whole album is just has so many different elements to it, but yet it still stays consistent, and it's so weird to me that a hip-hop album can do that. Yeah. It'd be kind of nutty, and they keep it so smooth, but yet they still keep that groove, that big bass and drum groove down, and the whole album is just has so many different elements to it, but yet it still stays consistent. And it's so weird to me that a hip-hop album can do that. And it's really funny because it has a lot of guest stars on it. For me, when hip-hop have... I hate it when hip-hop people have guest stars on it. And I'll go even further with this later on with another one of my picks. But it's funny, with this album, all the guest stars flow with the album. And it's great. I fucking love this album. Like, I think John Legend plays a bunch of piano on it, and he sings a bunch on it, and he sounds great. It's just great. It's a great album. The lyrics, Black Thought, I don't think has been any better than this. I think his rhymes and lyrics are fantastic. So, I love what they did with the Monsters of Folk song with Dear God 2.0, which is a great version of that song. I think it's mixed really well, too. I think the fact that the drums, the bass guitars, and the keyboards, and the piano, it's not... Nothing's, like, in the forefront. It's all very together. And instead of being, you know, here's the drums and the bass right up in your headphones, it's, you know, it's more just kind of settled in together a lot better. And nothing ever really stands out to me. So what do you guys think? Andy, you go.
Yeah, you know, with them, like, being on Jimmy Fallon and all that kind of stuff...
Oh, yeah.
You kind of wonder, is this group going to stay relevant, or... You know what I mean?
Right,
And so when they came out with the album, I followed them somewhat through their career, but...
Right.
Listening to the album, the things that stand out to me is it's very elegant.
Yeah.
It, like you're saying, the production and everything about it. It's not filler. There's no filler or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It seems very precise and very, very beautiful. A lot of good feelings in it. Positive feelings.
No, sounded
great.
Right, Ryan. What'd you think?
Well, I mean, the thing with the Roots, you know, if you're comparing them to any other hip hop group, is the fact that they use a live band.
Right.
I mean, they actually have a drummer, and when they play live, they're actually tight. Yeah. It's not like dude went in there and just hit the snare a bunch of times and they sampled it or anything. I mean, they're actually, like, playing the songs.
Right.
And I think they can get away with a lot of stuff other hip-hop people couldn't get away with. I mean, like, there's hardly any synth on the whole album.
Yeah, it's true.
It's a lot of actual, like, guitar, bass, piano, you know, all that kind of stuff. There's not a whole lot of scratching. I mean, it's just... I kind of feel like it's almost like a jazz album with rapping.
Yeah, it has a total jazz influence.
Like definitely. Soul.
Yeah. Like an old kind of Motown feel to it, but like rapping over top, but not like rehashed Motown.
Yeah.
No, totally.
Like it's like they wrote their own songs instead of just sampling, some old Motown songs or whatever.
Yeah. Did any songs stand out to you as your favorites? Either one can go.
I was really annoyed with the first track.
You really didn't like the first track? I like that first.
It's just an intro track, and it was just like, it's really quiet.
Yeah.
Compared to the rest of the album, which always annoys me. So, like, I'm cranking my stereo up, and I'm like, I can't even, is it playing? Is my MP3 player not working? What's going on? You know, and I'm like, no, it's playing. And then, like, I start hearing some piano, and I'm just like, is that, am I really hearing that?
All right, Andy, what about you, man?
It was just... I can't say a specific song because the consistency of it is what hit me the most.
Okay.
That's what I got from listening to it.
Yeah, it's kind of... It's an album that you just listen to the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's
at least for me. I don't even think I could skip around on it because the whole thing flows so well together as an album.
No, it does. And it's funny because it's their shortest album, too. It's only 42 minutes. Which, if you think about it, that's a good length for an album.
So, oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so, and I don't know if you guys noticed this, you probably don't remember this, but the last song, Hustler, it has auto-tune on a baby.
Yeah, no, I did notice that. I thought it was hilarious.
It was awesome!
I forgot about, yeah, yes, your weakness for the auto-tune, right?
I have a weakness for the auto-tune, yes.
Did you guys, I just noticed the Supion Stevens, which none of us put, so.
Thank you.
He has auto-tune on the last song on his voice for some of it.
I still hate him. I don't want to speak his name.
You hate him? Okay.
I tried to like that album. You know, they got such good reviews, and I'm listening to it, and I'm just like,
I like it, but yeah, it's out there, no doubt.
It's just not my thing. I mean, I tried so hard to like it. I listened to it like 3 or 4 times. You know, I wanted to be cool, but I'm not. It's just, it's
all right.
It's not good.
Okay, so back to my roots thing, the Roots album. So I'm gonna pick "Dear God," and then I'm gonna pick "Right On" for the songs to listen to.
Uh-huh. They said he's busy, hold the line, please. Call me crazy, I thought maybe he could mind read. Who does the blind mean? Yo, I try to get it how I live it. A lot of people counting on me, kinda like a digit. It's a cold world, I'm not fronting like it is. It's no time.
So that was part one of Louder Than Bombs podcast top 5 records of the year with me, your host, Paul Herman, Ryan Tremaine, and Andrew Thomas Hackett, also known as Andy. Thanks for listening, and if you have any questions to ask us, please give us an email at ltbmusicblog@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.